We're thinking about this whole idea of achieving the maximum in 2026 when it comes to life and when it comes to our faith. And what is that going to look like? And the question I want to ask you today, as we think about how we maximize this relationship that we have with God, and this is a question that each of you need to answer individually for yourself, and it's this: where's your heart today? Where's your heart? Last Sunday we heard three people's hearts, about a heart transformation, about a heart's change, and about a heart being forgiven. Hearts finding hope and experiencing God for themselves. But I want to ask you today, at the start of 2026, where is your heart? And specifically, where is your heart with God? Have you started this year with the mindset as, I want to know and experience maximum faith and the maximum potential that God has for me? For you, as individuals, no looking at anybody else, no comparing ourselves with anybody else, but saying, what is God wanting to do in my heart this year? Me. When everything else is put aside, when it's just me and him, what is God going to do? Because in reality, you look and see what God is doing in the transformation of hearts in this room. If you think about it, if you thought back either a week, a month, a year, 10 years ago, where were you with Jesus? A lot of you that are sitting here today weren't here before, but you are now. Because you've encountered Jesus for yourself. He has changed your heart. And I believe that that is where the source of everything comes from in our lives, is where our hearts are. Jesus actually talks about it, and we're going to look at it today. We're going to see that when our hearts are in the right position, and when our hearts are guiding and directing our discipleship and our faith journey, then we're going to see the maximum impact of that. But the reality is, the opposite is true. This year, what you put in to your faith is what you are going to get out. And if you put in minimal, then you're going to see a minimal impact. But if you put in the maximum, then it's got to have the maximum impact because your focus is right. Psalm 37 says these words, and I want you to hear these this morning. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. But listen to this. Verse 4 says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Psalm 37 tells us that when our focus, when our trust, when our heart is all for Jesus and all for God, trusting in him, then we can take delight in God at all times and all circumstances. And the promise is, he will give you the desires of your heart. Whereas in Jeremiah 17:9, it tells us the opposite, because there's a real contrast and a parallel goes with our hearts. We can either be living with the desire of God, or the parallel is this: the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. So I want you to take a minute and answer that question that I asked you right at the start again, right now. Where is your heart? Can you say today, in 2026, that your heart delights in God? Or is the opposite true? That our hearts are deceitful and wicked beyond all things. And in reality, that's the source of every decision that we make, every action, every attitude, behavior, and character. We're either delighting in God or we're no, right? That's what it comes down to. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. You see, in order to do this, we can't just say, I'm going to give you, God, a wee bit of my heart. I'm going to give you the bit of my heart that I want to give you, but the rest of it I'm going to keep to myself. That can't happen. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. All your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That's how we should be living in 2026. And it's a me decision. This is a me decision. This is a you decision, right? Nobody else can make this decision for you. You're either going to say this morning, I'm going to give my heart, I'm going to give my life, and I'm going to give my everything in 2026 to following God, to knowing God, to trusting God, to learning more about God, serving God. Or you're not. That's the reality of the decision that we've all got to make. Not just today, but every single day when I wake up, I make the decision that day, God, I'm going to trust you with all my heart. I'm going to love you with all my heart. I want your desires to be my desires. That's what I believe Psalm 37 talks about, by the way. I don't believe that it says, trust in God with everything and ye the desires of your heart. And you might have desires in your heart that aren't good for you. Because that's for your perspective, that's for your wants and your desires. But I believe that when we get closer to God, his desires become our desires. And he can just pour out his blessing. Pour out these blessings onto to you and me. So I think it's about getting perspective there. But it's a daily decision. Am I going to be dedicated today and devoted? Or am I going to be disconnected and disobedient? And you might be thinking, John, that's too black and white. But honestly, if you want to get the maximum out of this year, I want you to put the maximum effort in. That's what we're going to be thinking about over the next few weeks. All the areas of our lives that when our hearts are in the maximum position with God, we'll see the impact in so many other areas of our lives. Because when you think about it, what is your heart's purpose? Its sole purpose in so many ways is to keep you alive. To bring life. And I believe when we discover that putting God first in our hearts, in our lives, and our decisions, then we see that happen in reality. Last week we talked about Jesus speaking in Matthew chapter 6 and giving that instruction to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And we thought about the things that people were stressing in life about and worrying about and trying to navigate. And there's no much different from biblical times till now. But Jesus was saying, listen, if you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, everything else will be added to you. Everything else will make sense. Everything else will connect. And I think as we go into this year, like we were thinking about last week, the encouragement to say, we are seeking God first in all areas of our lives, then it's going to shape us, transform us. It's going to make the interactions and engagement that other people have with us even better, because they're getting God's version of us rather than my version of me. And that's where it all changes. But in Matthew 6, Jesus is trying to challenge the norms. He's trying to challenge their faith. He's trying to challenge them to live better for God. And Jesus talks about that, and just before we read, he talked about the treasures. And the Bible says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So again, I want to ask you the question again, where is your heart this morning? Jesus says he'll be able to tell where your heart is to what you treasure most. Where your priorities are, where your energies go, where your enthusiasm lies, where your resources are invested. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So again, reflecting that, where is your heart right now? Because if I'm not open and willing at the start of every day to have my heart changed, then there's not going to be any movement forward. I'll just remain the same. Nothing will change. My attitude will stay the same, my behaviour will stay the same, my character will stay the same, my decisions will stay the same. Everything will just stay where it is because it's all revolving around about me and my heart for me and no God's heart for me. If I've got no desire to embrace God's intention or God's instruction in the day-to-day and fill my heart with that, then I'm not going to see any change. I'm not going to see any transformation. I've told you before, and I'm going to tell you again, is I cannot agree with somebody that says to me, I've always been like this, I will never change. I can't agree with you on that. I can't see it in Scripture. I can't see with the people that Jesus met, there was change, there was transformation every single time. And it has to continue, it has to build momentum, and it has to keep on going. Because our hearts in 2026 is going to form our core passion and our core priorities and the things that we do and the people that we are and the way that we reflect Christ. So my heart this year is to say, how can I have my maximum heart and see the maximum momentum that God wants to do as I get into his word? We're going to look at some specifics over the next few weeks about areas that I believe we need to fully surrender our hearts in order to be able to see the outcome, not just for us as individuals, but also for what God's going to do in this church. Minimum involvement, minimal commitment, minimal input isn't going to cut it in 2026, folks. It's not going to cut it. If your mindset is, how can I do the least to grow in my faith? How can I do the least to serve in the church? How can I give the least that doesn't put me in any discomfort or anything else? How can I least? If that's your mindset, then 2026, you need to change it right now. Because I believe God wants to give us maximum and give us maximum opportunities in order to be able to serve him and to see how that's going to work. It's going to shape the effort, the energy, the enthusiasm that's applied because it comes from our heart. I'll never forget a meeting through in the lounge years and years and years ago. And we were talking about some practical things in church. And there was a big area of church where there was a big gap. And it came down to commitment. And it came down to people's desire to show up and to come and be part of what God was doing. And there was discussion at a meeting, and we were sitting around all the tables and we were chatting away, and we were getting nowhere, to be honest, until one of the gentlemen, I'll never forget where he was sitting, as he stood up and he says, everybody just stop a minute. And I was like, what's going on here? He says, we can talk all day, but this is all to do with people's hearts. And we can't change people's hearts. People need to be open to God doing that. And he was totally, totally right. Has God got my heart totally this year already? Has God got my total attention, total surrender, total trust? That's the question that we all need to ask ourselves as we go. Because if we put minimal in, we're going to get minimal out. I told you that. I want to do a wee survey, right? Hands up. This see, when I ask these questions, I need you to participate, right? Sometimes folks online were moaning. Why is it when Pastor John asks a question, nobody answers him? No jokes. Thanks, Thomas, for that, right? But so I want to see a show of hands. How many people, when you go to the petrol station, only put a tenner in? How many people fill up the tank? Wow. Right, that's good. I'm glad, because why is it when I pass my test, I used to go to the petrol station and put a tenner in? Right, I passed my test in 1997 or something like that. Right, I still put a tenner in, but it gets you, doesn't it get you as far, does it? You put a tenner in your motor today and you're probably going to get from here to the Ballock roundabout. Do you know what I mean? But when you put your full tank, like when I charged my car last night, it told me, John, you're going to get 250 miles rather than the 20 miles that was left on it. Now that might seem simple, and you might laugh and think, aye, fair enough, John, some of his live life on the petrol light, that's my Fiona, right? My Fiona, literally, she's in the group chat, am I telling lies? She sends photographs in that says, 0 miles left. That's faith, by the way, right? How many of you do that with your relationship with God? How many of us get filled first so that we can go into the day, into the week, into the life's decisions? Or how many of us are running on empty and on fumes? And then we wonder why we're not getting very far. Or we're limited, or we have to stop all the time and refuel again and stop all the time and refuel again. Quite funny though, Samuel passed his test, what, 2 weeks ago? And he has spent half in petrol and what I spent last year in total in electric in 14 days. Right? That's pretty impressive. Anyway, think about it in an education point of view, if those that are at school, uni, or doing advanced learning or whatever it might be, right? The time that you spend in the books is going to determine what you know and what you can apply in the industry or the area that you are going to go into. Are you going to do as most students, no, I shouldn't say most students, I'm going to stereotype them. I retract that, but I said it right. Are you doing just enough to pass that exam? Or to write that essay? Or to get the mark you need for the next step up? But actually, you haven't learned. You haven't been able to apply it. You haven't become an expert in that area. You've just managed to pass a test. Is that enough? But then do we do that with God? I'll spend just enough time in prayer. Just enough time in His Word. Just enough time. I know what it says, but actually, can you live it out when these things hit you? And when God's Word needs to be applied? Just a thought. See that gym membership that you got at the start of January? Who got one? Some of you, who's admitting to it, right, okay? See if you don't go. What's the point in it? You're going to see no results, no change, no impact. Again, that's what happens when our hearts aren't in the right place with God. And that's why I believe that central in Jesus' sermon and the Sermon on the Mount, he challenges them to say, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I believe if we start 2026 and we see that God's intention is for us to experience a fullness of faith, a fullness of life, a fullness of experience with Him, then we're going to see the impact on our lives and on others. As I say, we're going to look at some practical and essential areas that I believe are going to be fundamental and foundational in our experience in walking with God. And I just want to be clear again, I know I said it last week, but if your whole discipleship journey and your Christian faith and Christian growth is based in turning up here at 11 o'clock on a Sunday, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have minimal experience and minimal impact with God. Not just this year, but going forward. If that is your only connection, let's extend it even to the Tuesdays. If that's your only connection, if your whole discipleship and Christian growth journey is based on just that, I'm telling you the new, it's no gonna work. But if my heart's all in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, when I come here, I'm excited to see what God's going to do. I'm excited to come and serve. I'm excited to see transformed lives, because every day I'm engaging, every day I'm encountering, every day my heart is filled with God. If your time with God is minimal, why do you think you're struggling? If your time in prayer is minimal, why do you think your peace is destroyed? If your time serving God is minimal, why do you feel ineffective? Or why do you feel that you're no part of the bigger community? I saw a funny wee video the other day, and this is not a dig, by the way, but I saw a funny wee video on TikTok, and it was a girl sitting in a chair in church, and it was like a thought bubble saying, I don't really feel that I'm getting to know anybody in church. I don't really feel that I know I've got connection. Although I have to say, I was encouraged this morning when I came in. I met a lovely guy who's sitting up there called Alistair. He says, I've never had a welcome like this in any church ever, which is great. So I'm glad of that. Well done, church. You've passed the test. But he's a mystery shopper. I'm going to start getting him to come in, right? But this wee video was this wee girl basically saying, oh, I don't feel connected. And then the pastor prays and closes in prayer, and the first thing she does is run out the door and get him. You're never going to build relationships with anybody if your first thing when the service is finished is to get him. That's why we provide good quality coffee at affordable prices. It's free. But do you know what I mean? What we put in is what we're going to get out. The connections we have, the coffees that we have, the time that we have. If your time in encouraging others is minimal, why do you think you're maybe feeling disconnected or you're not experiencing that encouragement? Because the relationships are thing. Because I think, and ultimately, as I just finished this morning, as I think we all live with divided hearts. The Bible talks about it, right? In Psalm 86 and verse 11. And the psalmist says to God, God, teach me your ways, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. And then he says, give me an undivided heart that I might fear your name. I believe in 2026, we need to be praying that, to say, God, give me an undivided heart. No distractions, no disconnect, totally all in for you. I want you to teach me. I want you to rely on you. I want you to show me what it is that you want for me. I want to just see what your purpose is. Give me an undivided heart, God. I want to give you my heart right now. I wonder if your heart this year is for the people that you love, the people in your family, the people you're connected with, to discover God's love for themselves. What will be the impact of that if their hearts are changed? I wonder if your heart this year is for people that you haven't met yet to experience the hope that you have in Jesus because of your life and because of your example and because people are intrigued by your story. What's that going to look like? Mark chapter 12 verse 30 again gives us this instruction. Reminds us of the Old Testament of the command for the people, but ultimately the same command for us, to love the Lord your God with all your heart. With all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And as a result, love your neighbour as yourself. When your heart is maximum for God, then you will love God with everything. You'll love others with everything. And it's something that we need to guard, something we need to protect, something we need to be intentional and deliberate in terms of saying, today I'm giving you my heart. God, change my heart. God, know my heart. God, forgive my heart. God, inspire my heart. And as we go into this year, I believe that when we get our heart position right first, right, that's got to be first. Love God with all your heart first. Seek first the kingdom of God. Have that undivided heart to say, God, I'm giving my heart to you. And today you might need forgiven because your heart is wicked beyond all things. But realistically, you might have not been that bad, right? Some people expect, and it's funny talking to some of the guys that were getting baptized the other day, right? Because, by the way, if anybody wants to be baptized next, I've got wee booklets about baptism I want to give you, right? But this is brilliant, right? So some of these guys, when you're talking to them about their story, they kind of realise when we're on Alpha, you see guys like Shane, who's literally tried to kill folk. And you've seen drug dealers and mentalists and everything else, right? And then folks will say to me, but what's my story? I've not got a story like that. But equally, Shane could say, well, I've not got a story like yours. And I wish I had. Sometimes life gets too messy, too quick. But actually, I love seeing, that's why with the young team get upstairs and when they come on a Sunday night and everything else, we're trying to protect them from making the mistakes that some of you folk have made, right? No, me, you, right? It's easier to point the finger at other people in it than point back at yourself. But I want you to think about this, is where is your heart? And if you're here today and you're saying, John, I know I've not been that bad, but I know I need to be forgiven. I know I need to be set free. I know I need that change to be all in for God. If you are saying today, I know that I'm not all in for God, then I want you to realize that God was all in for you. Because when Jesus went to that cross to die, it wasn't to distinguish between who was worse and who was perfect. It was to die for all sin, all hearts. Whether you're the worst in the room or whether you seem to be the most innocent in the room, you've still done stuff that displeases and disobeys God. And that needs to be fixed. And that's a heart transplant. That's a heart change that has to happen in each of us. So, at the start of this year, where is your heart? And I'm asking you, straight this morning, can you say my heart is all for Jesus? Can you say that my heart is undivided for God? And if that is the case, as we go forward in this next couple of months and we explore what's that mean, does it mean that for you to take the next step with your heart, you're going to be in that baptism tank? I'll tell you folks, if there's a big enough queue, I'll have it filled every week. Is your next step to say, right, God, I'm giving you all my heart. I want you to show me the gifts that you've given me. I want you to reveal to me, Lord, the path that you want for me to take, what life is going to look like. I want you to help me in the good and the hard. I want you to provide for me, and I want to know that whatever I go through, I'm not alone. It might be that you have to totally surrender. It might need to, you need to make a wee change in your priorities this year, and I'm just saying this sensitively and gently. If you're deciding not to come together to church, if you're deciding not to come together to pray, if you're deciding not to come together to study together, then it's you that's deciding that. And you're not going to get anywhere when it comes to community. You're not going to get anywhere when it comes to growing in your faith. You're not going to get anywhere when it comes to giving that all. But it's easy sometimes just to put excuses in. I'll give God the minimal this week and expect to get the maximum out. I'm telling you, it's not going to happen. So an undivided heart, a whole heart surrendered. Are we willing to say, God, today, if God was to say to you right now, where is your heart? Can you say right now, God, I've given you my heart. I'm surrendering to you, and I want to be forgiven by you, and I want my future to be in your hands. If you've not made that yet, if you've not made that step yet, if you've not made that choice yet, if you've not given your life to God yet, what are you waiting for? He's waiting for you. Why don't you give him your heart today?